One of the distinctions in unity is the degree to which we encourage and expect people to take responsibility for their own lives. We say, you are in charge of your life. You can make it what you want it to be. Made in the image and likeness of God, we too are creators. We create our own reality every day through the choices that we make, how we choose to think, believe, and act. So this is the good news and the bad news all rolled into one, is it not? Because we're in charge. On the one hand, that's a rather heady feeling to know that we are powerful, creative, spiritual beings designing our own lives. As the late Unity minister, Reverend Eric Butterworth said, you're not a helpless creature bobbing about like a cork on the sea of life at the mercy of the storms of fate and circumstance. You are the very self-livingness of God. The very self-livingness of God. Or to paraphrase the poem Invictus, we are the masters of our fate and the captains of our soul. On the other hand, when our ship runs aground, it is we who must take responsibility for that. Yes, others can help us, can give us some ideas, but they can't live our lives for us. And ultimately, it is up to us to get our ship aright and to get it sailing back on course. And that may require that we do a little introspection, that we continue to learn and grow and change. We might rethink some of the things we've told ourselves, some of the stories we've made up, who we've made right, who we've made wrong. We may need to face our shadow, look at some of our blind spots. All of this is our spiritual practice. It's all part of making the fine-tuning, if you will, making the adjustments to bring us into greater alignment with our highest self, to bring us alignment with that one power, one presence that we call God. We seek that so that we can come home to the peace of God within us. We seek that knowing that there is more in us. And so this is our spiritual practice. Unity is very much a movement about spiritual practice. We say it is a positive path for spiritual living. The emphasis is on living. The emphasis is on how we live versus what we believe. You don't have to believe anything in unity. We don't require you to believe anything in particular. We have our teachings, which are constantly evolving. You get to decide whether to embrace them or not. Or maybe you embrace some and not others. So this is not a place where we ask you to recite a creed or confess your sins or express certain beliefs in order to be saved or to win God's favor. You already have God's favor. You're born with it. You are it. You are the living, breathing expression of God in this world. You are a spiritual being having a human experience, one with the allness of the infinite. So there's nothing to prove or earn, no favor to earn. There's only the opportunity to awaken. And that is where prayer comes in. You see, prayer is foundational to unity, but our method of prayer, our approach to prayer, is different than what many people are accustomed to. Much of traditional prayer is about asking or even beseeching God to intervene on our behalf, to grant our wish, to heal our wounds, to make something be the way we want it to be. So we'll say, please God, heal my loved one. Please God, let me get that job. Please, God, mend this relationship. Well, there's nothing wrong with this. You get to pray however you want to pray. And sometimes, particularly at a time of anguish in our lives or a dark night of the soul, the only prayer we may be able to get out is, help me, God. And that's okay. And that's enough. At the same time, it's worth noting that when we pray in this way, we are really putting the power outside of ourselves into an external, sort of a separate God. Perhaps even a bit of a capricious God. So that when we pray, it's really kind of like, let's be honest, a little bit of a roll of the dice, right? Hey, might as well pray, right? I mean, I'm going to pray, and let's just hope that this time it works. So our thought process looks a little bit like this. You want to advance the slides, please? Drum roll. All right. So we pray. Did it work? Yes. Praise the Lord. And if it didn't work, well, God works in mysterious ways. Right? I mean, truly. I'm reminded of what Sir Arthur Eddington once said about the uncertainty principle in modern physics. Something unknown is doing we don't know what. Well, in Unity, we take a different approach to prayer. We pray not to change or influence God, but to change ourselves. We pray to shift our consciousness and ultimately to help us wake up. That we're not trying to cajole an external, separate God to do something. We're really praying to remember who we truly are. We're going deep into that consciousness of oneness to remember that we are that. That we have within us this immense power and presence. That we can make all things possible. You know, we say often on a spiritual level, we are the hands, the feet, the heart, the voice, the love, the Spirit of God in expression. But often in our daily lives, we forget that. We may fall into thinking that we are hopeless victims in need of being rescued. When we connect with our true nature, we see that not only do we have the power to rescue, we have the power to thrive. It's not up to God. It's up to us. It's up to us as expressions of God. A man once stood before God, and his heart was broken over all of the pain and injustice in the world. And he said, "Dear God, there is so much suffering. There's so much anguish. There's so much distress in this world. Why don't you do something?" And the response was, "I did. I sent you." You see, we are here to fully express the presence and power of God in us. This is our work. As they say here on earth, God's work must truly be our own. And so when we pray, we remember all that we have at our disposal to bring to bear in this earthly life. So, how do we go about this? Linda Martella-Witsit, she's a minister in Unity, and she's also the director of Silent Unity now. She says that when we pray, we affirm and claim our divine identity so that we can live more fully from that. Ooh, nice. We pray and claim, we acclaim and assert our divine identity so that we can pray more fully from that. So think about it. That's very much what Jesus did, is it not? He said, "I and the Father are one." And therein claimed his divine identity so that he could live more fully from that. And when he said to us, "You're the light of the world," he was asserting our divine identity so that we might claim it and live more fully from it. You are one with the one. The kingdom of heaven is within you. All things are possible. So in Unity, we use affirmations, which are statements of truth. We consider them statements of the highest truth, to remind ourselves that we are spiritual beings having a human experience, that there is far more to us than we have even yet discovered. And so to give you an idea of kind of how that sort of prayer feels, the transformation that occurs when we release our sense of ego self and step into our higher self, I'd like to share what Reverend Linda Martella-Witsit has compiled as sort of affirmative statements as a recasting of the Lord's Prayer. She says, "The light of the world shines within me, outside me, all around me. Looking to the light, I am led by the light. I reflect the light in my innermost thoughts, as well as my outermost actions. Every day, every good comes my way. The light I am keeps me from being caught up in superficial or material matters. I am freed from being out of rhythm with my divine identity. From the one source comes the vision, the energy to bring forth the vision, and the harmony of this manifested vision with all of creation. This is the foundation from which I take my next step. This is the foundation from which I take my next step." You see, that last part is very, very important. Prayer may be the first step, but it is not the only step. The fifth principle in unity says it isn't enough to know the truth. We must live it. We must put these principles into practice. And so we say, put feet under your prayers. Or to use an old African proverb, when you pray, move your feet. Move your feet. Do what is yours to do. Take action. You know, the wonderful, profoundly and powerful spiritual leader, African-American spiritual leader Frederick Douglass, who was an abolitionist and an escaped slave himself, said this, "I prayed 20 years, but received no answer until I prayed with my legs." You see, prayer isn't meant to be a substitute for action, but a catalyst for it. Prayer is not a way in which we shirk responsibility, but a way and a motivation to take it. So I was very much reminded of that this week in the aftermath of this horrific shooting at a Florida high school, a senseless loss of life, that sense of helplessness that we all feel. And as the condolences were coming in, the expressions of sorrow, particularly from elected officials, the common thread was that we are holding in our thoughts and prayers all those hurt by this, all the victims, all of the tragic loss of life. We are praying for everyone and for our nation. I really believe in prayer, and I believe in the power of prayer. But especially in this case, prayer alone is not enough. It isn't enough to just turn it over to God and hope that things will get better. It is a part of taking responsibility, what we believe in our unity movement. If indeed we are the hands, the feet, the heart, the voice, the love of God and expression, then we must do something. We must do something. I'm not the only spiritual leader who had a frustrating experience hearing some of these statements about, well, we'll just pray. Seemed so inadequate, seemed like not nearly what it needs to be in terms of the precursor to action. So there's been a whole wave of response from spiritual leaders of all different faiths. One rabbi wrote on social media, "I don't need thoughts and prayers from politicians. I'm a rabbi. We have the prayer department covered. I need politicians to do their jobs and pass laws so our children aren't scared to go to school and parents don't worry. And parents don't worry that each goodbye in the morning might be our last." You know, I would never say that we have enough prayer or we got that covered. In fact, I would really I love this thought. I love to think of our elected officials going off into a chapel or quiet place, sacred place, and really turning within to ponder what has happened. Go in and turn within and really feel into the tragedy of this. Feel your oneness with the people who have been affected. Feel the senselessness and the horror. Feel it on a deep level until you cannot sit there anymore. But you must get up and do something. And so I say, pray and move your feet, Congress. Pray and move your feet, Mr. President. Pray and move your feet to all of us. And ultimately, pray and move your feet to the ballot box if that is the only way you can make something happen. Enough is enough. We can and we must do better than this. You know, Jesus was a man of prayer. We appreciate that, a holy man, incredible role model for us, and he was also a man of courageous action. So let us make prayer our way of coming into a fuller realization of what is needed here, and may it impel us to action, leaving aside our differences, our party affiliations, whatever. Put it all aside and make this a better, safer world. There was a young girl once who really loved birds. And she got very, very upset when her brother went out and started setting traps to catch them. And so she told her friend, "I prayed that he would not catch any birds." And her friend said, "Well, did it work?" And she said, "Oh, yes. After I prayed, I went out and kicked the traps to pieces." You know, sometimes we pray, and then we must go out and kick to pieces old limiting thought, old ways of being, old divisions, kick it all apart to create the new. As you go forth into your life, whether you choose to focus on these big national issues or whether you're most concerned with what is challenging you in your own life, remember the transformational power of prayer, that it puts you in touch with all of the resources, all the spiritual wisdom, the will, the courage, the strength, the clarity that you need to see through any difficulty. Unity co-founder Charles Fillmore once wrote, "It's your mission to express all that you can imagine God to be. Let this be your standard of achievement. Never lower it. Never allow yourself to be belittled by the cry of sacrilege. You can attain to everything you can imagine. If you can imagine that it is possible to God, it is possible to you." Let us then use this powerful transformational tool to live the lives we've imagined and to create the world that we dreamed of. Let us pray and move our feet. Let's prepare now for our meditation. I invite you to get comfortable in your seat. Let's take a deep breath in, filling our lungs with this beautiful spiritual energy that is us. Release and let go. One more time, a deep breath in, and with this exhale, allow yourself to just truly let go. Let go of any distracting thoughts or worries or concerns. Just lay it all aside, allowing it to drop from your shoulders so that you are open and aware and one with the one. I invite you to breathe into your heart. And as you exhale, just know that God is here. God is with you, in you, as you. I invite you to breathe into the very center of your being, to tune into that still place, your inner sanctuary. And allow yourself to be fed and nurtured in the silence. We remember that even in the darkest night, there is a light. Even in the most challenging times, there is that invisible unfolding of divine good. We trust in this, we build our faith on this. And as we claim and affirm our own divine identity, we go forward with renewed joy, with renewed commitment and resolve to be the change we wish to see in the world. And for all of this, we are so grateful. Thank you, God. Thank you, sweet spirit, infinite mind. Thank you, Jesus. And so it is. Amen.
God speaking.